欢迎收听三角尺北欧新闻平台 podcast。嚟到第二集节目，系时候讲下国际新闻啦。我谂过去一个礼拜，准确啲应该话系过去几个月啦，乌克兰局势都系世界关注嘅焦点。美国白宫国家安全顾问苏利文在2月12号警告，俄罗斯可能随时入侵乌克兰，而且可能在北京冬奥结束前发动攻击，呼吁美国公民在48小时内撤离。似乎大家都很关心到底俄罗斯和乌克兰是否会开战，若然俄罗斯真的入侵乌克兰，那北约和乌克兰周边国家又会怎样应对？今集节目会集中讲乌克兰危机，节目下半部分找来一位住在乌克兰东部的学者做访问，等大家可以了解多少少当地的最新情况。如果平时没有留意开国际新闻的话，可能当你听到身边有人说俄罗斯和乌克兰就来打仗了，你会听到一头雾水，蛤，打仗？因什么事要打仗啊？或者等我讲少少背景先。早在上年11月开始，俄罗斯在乌克兰边境部署军队，随着军事部署规模不断扩大，西方国家对俄罗斯可能入侵乌克兰的担心程度亦都增加。过去几个月，不少国家尝试阻止这场危机发生，美国、北约甚至欧洲多个国家先后就乌克兰问题和俄罗斯展开磋商。无论是通过和俄罗斯当局直接会谈，亦或威胁会在俄罗斯入侵乌克兰的情况下对俄罗斯实施严厉制裁，这些方案似乎都没有实质帮助，未能够成功化解当前危机。今个月初，根据美国官员情报评估，俄罗斯已经在接壤乌克兰的边境结集11万兵力，又指俄罗斯总统普京要求俄军为所有选项做好准备，包括在乌克兰东部的顿巴斯地区进行有限度入侵，又或者最坏的情况是全面入侵乌克兰。美国官员还说，如果全面入侵，俄军可以在48小时之内夺取乌克兰首都基辅，同埋推翻乌克兰总统泽连斯基。不过到目前为止，俄罗斯都是否认有计划入侵乌克兰。一旦这场危机演变成战争，欧洲地区局势将会面临考验，譬如对乌克兰周边国家的影响，北约的角色又是怎样？北约是否已经准备好作出调配，去加强东欧成员国边境的军事部署呢？讲了这么久，可能大家都有一个疑问，如果俄罗斯真的入侵乌克兰，究竟是想得到什么？普京又有什么盘算？有分析认为，俄罗斯在乌克兰边境加强部署，是想逼西方满足俄方提出的安全保障要求。所谓的安全要求和北约东扩问题、北约和俄罗斯之间的关系有关。自从冷战结束之后，苏联一手建立的华沙公约组织瓦解，有部分前华沙公约组织成员国加入了以美国为首的北约，包括捷克、波兰、匈牙利、罗马尼亚、波罗的海三国等等。在俄罗斯眼中，一律被视为北约东扩的举动踩中俄罗斯的红线。乌克兰曾经是苏联加盟共和国，独立之后，乌克兰和美国建立外交关系。乌克兰不是北约成员国，但它是伙伴国。现时的协议意味着乌克兰在未来 有可能加入北约。上年12月，俄罗斯公布安全保障条约草案，就是向西方作出承诺，条款包括要求北约停止向东扩张，承诺不会将乌克兰纳入北约，还提出北约需要放弃在乌克兰、东欧、高加索南部甚至中亚的军事活动等等，要求对方书面回复。到今年1月，美国和北约分别书面回复俄罗斯，拒绝对方提出的要求，变相令乌克兰局势更加紧张。
победителей не будет. И вы окажетесь втянутыми в этот конфликт помимо своей воли.
战争可能随时发生，住在近边境的乌克兰人开始要二拣一，讨论到底走不走，定选择留下的问题。距离俄罗斯边境42公里的乌克兰第二大城市哈尔科夫，最近街头都有不少示威活动，抗议俄罗斯的威胁。乌克兰总统泽连斯基接受美国《华盛顿邮报》访问的时候，曾经警告哈尔科夫可能是俄军入侵的目标。早排我透过电话访问了一位目前住在哈尔科夫的乌克兰人，他是 Yulia。 我剪辑了部分访问内容，以下落来的节目 Yulia 会分享他在当地的观察，乌克兰人又点睇俄乌冲突嘅种种问题。咁由于佢系讲英文啦，所以我会做简单嘅翻译。
Hello everyone, my name is Yulia Bidenko. I am PhD in political science and I'm associate professor of Karazin Kharkiv National University at Political Science Department. I was born in Kirovograd, now it is Kropivnitsky, in the central part of Ukraine, but my family moved to Kharkiv when I was 2 years old, so I consider myself to be a citizen of Kharkiv, and actually most of my life I studied and then teaching here, with the very small breaks to get a job in Kyiv or to live in Prague for my research career. So mostly I'm here and I'm very in the situation.
Yulia 目前是哈尔科夫国立大学政治学系副教授，他两岁的时候同屋企人搬了去乌克兰东部城市哈尔科夫，人生大部分时间都是哈尔科夫生活的，小时候在读书，大个出来做事，在大学教书。
Yeah, actually ifyou would be a tourist who visit in Kharkiv, you wouldn't find anything, you know, like in a war zone. I know that some journalists, they prefer even to go further to the contact line to make these kind of pictures of half-empty and damaged villages. But actually, Kharkiv is more than million of people living here, and it is a very developed city, and at the moment people are living their everyday routine with their everyday routine, and I would say that all restaurants and bars in the center, they are full with people, they are crowded, if you are not deep into the situation, you would say that everything is fine, because we have heating, we have our daily jobs task, and people are working, and they try not to panic. You can never know how they will affect you, but you need to be prepared, you need to be ready. So that is why I would say under this escalation, people are not panicking a lot. So they thought so many times what to do in the case of emergency. They shared the experience, what they did. That is why I would say informationally, psychologically, Kharkiv is more resilient than 8 years ago. So I would say that people are calm, but also at the same time they are well instructed. For example, at Kharkiv University, we have this kind of trainings, and we were instructed where to run with the students in the case of a terroristic attack or bombing. So we know that we have shelters, and actually people, I would say, they are aware, but they are not panic.
他跟我说，如果你现在来哈尔科夫旅行，你是不会觉得这里像战区。哈尔科夫人口超过100万，是一个发达城市。虽然乌克兰局势持续紧张，但到目前为止，当地人生活如常，继续翻工。街上的餐厅和酒吧照常做生意，很多时候都坐满晒人。根据他的观察，哈尔科夫市内并没有出现恐慌，当地人很冷静，亦都做足准备。在哈尔科夫国立大学有提供训练，教学生在危急的情况之下怎样逃生。
I do remember these rumors in Kharkiv since 2014, and every 3 months appeared this kind of information spread via Facebook, for example, that Putin is going to attack Kharkiv to celebrate the Victory Day or to spoil the Independence Day here. So there were rumors from time to time. There were numerous attempts to influence Russian-speaking citizens of Ukraine with the instruments of propaganda using these anonymous channels in Telegram, for example, or even in Facebook. And also, there is just a part of this great puzzle of hybrid war that we have for the last 8 years. And I don't think that even solving this escalation of current weeks, we can achieve long-term peace here in Ukraine. We faced with the one of the largest cyber attack 2 weeks ago, when the websites of government institutions were hacked, and actually we have the application for the documents available for every citizen of Ukraine. So digitalization is pretty developed in public services, and I know that this system also was hacked. And also during 2 or 3 years, there were numerous bombing alarm calls, which affected negatively work functioning of universities, hospitals, schools, children gardens, and public administration. So when you have this kind of bomb alarm, it's very destructive for law enforcement agencies, and you need to evacuate people. And when they called to two hospitals in Kharkiv with the people who were in COVID department, they also needed to be evacuated for a while. And it's so, always very destructive for all around. So we have this kind of calls. According to the police, a lot of these calls came from uncontrolled territory of Donbas, which is controlled by separatists and by under the efficient control of Russian Federation.
2014年，俄罗斯吞并克里米亚，随后爆发顿巴斯战争，在西方周旋下。2015年，俄罗斯和乌克兰签署停火协议，但过去这么多年，乌克兰东部仍然有零星冲突发生，哈尔科夫都不例外。2015年2月，哈尔科夫体育馆附近有炸弹袭击，当时造成2死11人受伤，怀疑是由亲俄分离主义分子发动袭击。Yulia 亦有留意到最近有网络攻击，同埋擔心俄羅斯會發動越嚟越多嘅混合戰爭。
President Zelensky tried to make people calm, and he said that they are working a lot to solve the situation in diplomatic with diplomatic instruments and economic means. When we're talking about Kharkiv, it was very clear message from the mayor, who actually newly elected mayor, and he is Russian speaking, but he said in Russian that Kharkiv is totally Ukrainian city, and no one should invite here, and they will make all the efforts to defend the city in this case.
問到當地政府有沒有做啲咩去安撫民眾情緒，佢就話總統澤連斯基呼籲大家要保持冷靜，承諾會通過外交方法去化解呢場危機。至於哈爾科夫市長都公開講過，哈爾科夫係烏克蘭城市，冇人可以入侵。如果俄羅斯真係打到嚟，佢哋會用盡辦法去保護呢個城市。
Somebody talking about Lviv, Ivano-Frankivsk, it's kind of a Western points. Others would prefer capital city Kyiv, but a lot of people, they are more strict about their position to stay here and to provide kind of resistance in the case of invasion. For example, you can join regular military forces. It is also the option, especially for those who already anti-terrorist operation veterans. We have more than 400 of thousands people in Ukraine who has this experience, who protected or were involved in hostilities in Donbas from Ukrainian side. Other option is to join these voluntarily territorial defense troops. And there is also kind of option to organize this partisan resistance, and some of nationalistic organizations, they develop in these kind of plans. And we have a huge network of volunteers appeared in 2014-2015. And you not necessarily join in kind of army with a weapon, but you can provide any other kinds of assist, of aid, provision. You can cook, you can be the nurse, and so on and so forth.
当地局势唔明朗，有啲人主张离开，譬如搬去首都基辅避一避先，但亦都有好多人坚持留低。一旦俄罗斯真系打到嚟，佢哋会作出反抗。就算唔系去前线当兵，都可以做义工，帮手整嘢食同做医护。
Well, I think that Russia is pretty assertive at the moment. They don't want to attack Ukraine, as they say in there.But they want to prevent NATO expanding to the east. They need kind of guarantees that Ukraine will be under their control, and actually they want to prevent the influence of Western institutions here in Ukraine. We felt huge support recently from Baltic states, namely Latvia, Lithuania and Estonia, and also we get a huge signals of support from Poland. These neighbors in northern and eastern, central eastern part of Europe, they have the episodes in their own history when they were under control of USSR. They were in a way occupied by the Soviet Union. So they know that Russian threat is real for them as well, but they feel more secure because they are already members of NATO. So they are members of this collective defense security international system. That was actually the point of public discussions in Ukraine, because at the moment, inner support to and readiness to vote to join NATO in Ukraine is more than 50%.
在访问最后， Yulia 以学者角度分析俄罗斯威胁入侵乌克兰的真正动机。他认为俄罗斯是想阻止北约东扩，防止西方影响力直接贴近乌克兰，确保乌克兰在他控制之下。 另外，他提到波罗的海三国和波兰都很支持乌克兰。这些东欧国家曾经被苏联侵占和控制过，所以明白俄罗斯的威胁真实存在，但是他们已经加入了北约，得到更多的安全保护。亦都是因为这样，近来社会上多了很多声音讨论乌克兰应不应该加入北约。Julia 的分享纯粹是他个人的意见，我接下来都会尝试找多些、住在不同地区的乌克兰人，看看他们对乌克兰危机和俄罗斯和乌克兰之间的关系有什么看法。这集时间都差不多了，多谢大家收听，拜拜。